We gather together this morning to worship our God. Let's do so by singing his praise from the words of Psalm 34. Psalm 34, and we're singing verses, the first four stanzas, Bill, 1 to 7, with the numbers we've got. God will I bless all times, his praise my mouth shall still express. My soul shall boast in God. The meek shall hear with joyfulness. Extol the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord. He heard and did me from all fears deliver. They looked to him and lightened were, not shamed were their faces. This poor man cried. God heard and saved him from all his distresses. The angel of the Lord encamps and round encompasseth all those about that do him fear, and them delivereth. These four stanzas from Psalm 34, God will I bless all times.
God will I bless all times,
his praise my mind shall still express. My soul
Chronicles, 2 Chronicles and chapter 20, and we're reading verses 1 through to 17 of that chapter. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 from the beginning. The setting is that in chapter 19, Jehoshaphat had put in place renovations and reviving of the worship of God, and had set up the structure for the house and for the society in which they were living. And that very quickly attracted the attention of the enemies round about, And so we come to the events of chapter 20. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that there is none able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwell therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If, when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy name, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And from verse 14 onwards, we have the response of that vigil of waiting with expectation upon God. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Cis, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." Amen. And we look to the Lord to give to us blessing and understanding in that reading of his own holy word. Let's now come together in prayer. Our Lord and our God, we come underneath the summons of thy word to join together in praising thy name. And as we are stilled in these moments before thee, the exercise of our memory and the engagement of our soul brings us to think of the vastness of thy gracious blessings bestowed upon us, even at this turning point in our life and a crucial marker which so many of us mark and remember as we journey from one year into the next. We are conscious not just simply of blessings in the last year, but we take that higher vantage point and we look down and we look back over the journey we've taken throughout all the experiences of life. And we can say and testify afresh to thy name this morning that goodness and mercy has followed us all the days of our life. May thy blessing then be upon us still this day, as we come to worship thee, as we come to think of and to remember the goodness to us, Lord, as a response of these good things we've experienced and had from thine hand, may we take this opportunity to renew our vows before thee, our commitment to live in thy way and according to thy word. We look about us at this time of year and we hear and we see so much that is lavishly provided and so many promises laid out for us, that if we go down this road or that road, if we try this or try that, there will be a sense of satisfaction and enjoyment had by all who do so. And yet the experience of our soul, more so as we've journeyed along the path of life, the experience of our soul is that if we are missing that vital commodity, that vital relationship of a faith in thee, our God, then our lives, for all else that can be said, our lives are empty. We pray, Lord, that our nation and our people might pick up on this experience even as they try to return to normality in these days to come, with the festive season behind them, with all of the damage that has been done and the spending that's been engaged and the energy put out, and yet they are none the better for it all. We ask of thee, Lord, that thou would put thine hand upon our leaders, on ourselves, on thy church and thy people living in our nation today, that we might be able to speak of thee and put out the warning bell and the warm invitation, inviting to come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. His words come home to us again, that he has come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. That lavish provision thou hast made for the good and the well-being of as many as trust in thee. And here we gather relatively in a corner of our nation and our people, in a little area set aside from the main thoroughfare and activity of our nation. And sometimes we can think, O Lord, that we're at the end, at the edge, or perhaps not even thought of at all by so many round about us. But Lord, thine eye is upon thine own, and thine ear is bent to catch their cry. And so, Lord, as we set out this day into a new year, we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst journey with us. Come what may in it, may we rest and rely upon thy wisdom, thy grace, and thy goodness to us, not only for ourselves individually, but for the families and the homes that we represent, for the community that we stand in and function amongst, for those who are our family circle in the bonds of love and of blood, however narrow or wide that circle might be. The one thing we seek for each and all of us is the lifting up of thy face towards us and thine hands overspreading us in divine benediction. So we pray for our nation and our people. We pray for thy church. We pray, Lord, that we might walk with thee and speak of thee to others. We pray that we might feed upon thy word and know the change within us, bringing us into greater conformity to the character, lifestyle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that every experience of thy goodness to us may but stimulate us in our worship and motivate us in our obedience. Come in with us, O Lord our God. we do pray, as we wait upon thee now, this morning, may thy blessing be upon our soul. Those who are not able to be with us, we would remember them before thyself. And we do pray that one and all of us may know what it is to set aside the things of time and sense, apply ourselves to the things of eternity and spirituality, but especially look upwards to thee with expectation of good things for all. Hear us, our God. Deal with us in thy grace. Pardon us our sin. For all of these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Would you turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 46, this morning. Again, it's a relatively short psalm, and let's read it all together. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the seas, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heath enraged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen. Our meditation this morning might be just ever so slightly different from what you might expect or what I've been like in the past. But I want us to think of Psalm 46 and verse 10. And it was the same sentiment that was brought up in our reading in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And it's simply these words at the beginning of verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. And what I want to do is, I want to go back over 100 years. I want to go back over 100 years and to a community that's not far from you here across the water, to the island of Lewis. It was the year 1919. The Great War has just finished. There was relief and there was thankfulness felt by so many that they were yet alive and they were on their way home. Many of them had been in the RNR, the Royal Navy Reserve. They had been into dangerous waters. They had been through hard and difficult battles. And there, on Tuesday, the 31st of December, there was a crowd gathered on the pier at Kyle. They wanted to get home for the new year. There were two boats going to sail from Kyle, the Iolea and the Sheila. And everybody wanted onto the first boat out of the port so that they'd be the first home. Right throughout the island, families were making preparation for the arrivals. The house was cleaned. Clothes were laid out. Food was made ready. The light was burning late into the evening. And there was high expectations in the villages and the homes. So much talk. So much activity. Everybody was excited. A father. A husband. A son. A brother was coming home. There was a great sense of expectancy and relief as one of the boats, the Ailea, left Stornoway, left Kyle, 2:30, or at least before, just after midnight on that night. But at 2:30, as they were approaching Stornoway Harbour, they hit the rocks. They were only 20 feet from the shore, but it was dark in the middle of the night. There was a big swell running. It was rough water. And of these 283 that were on board, over 200 were lost in that rock disaster of the Ailea. Some of them were washed up at the foot of their own crofts on the Wednesday morning following. And in the days that did follow, many a family wound their way into Stornoway, utterly broken, totally shattered, on a sad trip to collect the remains of their loved ones. Pain and sorrow was deep throughout the whole of the island. And from 1919 onwards, not many, if any, talked about that event. It was just something that was put safely in the back of the memory, but never shared or talked about amongst the family or in the community. Only recently has there been a memorial. It was there, but it has been improved, tidied up, highlighted. But only recently has there been that memorial raised to the loss of the Ailea and its effect on the island. That was on the Tuesday and Wednesday. The minister in the Free Church in Stornoway was the Reverend Kenneth Cameron. And he had to preach the following Sunday. How was he going to preach? What was he going to say? How was he going to minister to a whole island, a town, a community, utterly shattered? There wasn't a home in the whole of the island that hadn't been affected in some way. So much hurt, so much pain. How could he enter in to what they were going through and minister as a Christian minister to them? All that he could do is what he did do. He took this verse, Psalm 46 and verse 10. And that's what he said before the people. Be still and know that I am God. That's the history of this verse as far as it concerns myself. But what application have we to make of this for we all are now today? We don't know what this 2022 is going to hold for any one of us. We know what COVID can do and how quickly it can spread. We don't know how severe, we don't know how potent it is. We may well be on the same path as these people were all. We don't know. Yes, we can speak of COVID. But there are so many other different afflictions and problems that come and visit us and knock at the door of our life. Not one of us is free. All of us have to drink, in some measure, from the sorrow and the sadness that we've highlighted and illustrated so vividly from the life of the people on the island of Lewis in 1919. And the best that we can do is to listen closely and hold tightly to what this psalm says to us now, addressing them so many years ago. But we can take it, and who knows how it might help us, and others maybe, in this year we've entered. So the first thing I want us to look at is simply their confidence in God, set out by this psalm. It takes a cool nerve. It takes a confident, strong faith simply to stop, stand still, and start thinking. Sometimes when disaster comes on us, we feel that we've got to be up and doing something. We've got to be active. Whereas here we're told to be still. In our reading there in 2 Chronicles, the reason that I took that reading this morning, chapter 19, as we said, dealt with the reforms that Jehoshaphat was bringing into the land. Chapter 19, verses 6 and 7 illustrates it for us. And that reformation was noted by the other nations round about them. So when we come into chapter 20, we find that Moab and Ammon and so many others went out to make war against Israel. And it wasn't going to be a little skirmish over the garden fence, as it were. Easily, quickly dealt with. Go back and read that chapter 20 again. And four times in that chapter, there is a representation given us of the majesty, no, of the might rather, of the Moab army, the Ammonites that were coming. We are told that it was a great multitude. Verse 2, verse 12, verse 15. A great multitude was coming against them. A vast army. We're told in verse 3 that fear spread amongst the Israelites at the thought of what was coming their way. So what did they do? They all gathered together to seek the help of the Lord because they felt so vulnerable. Verse 13, they prayed to the Lord. We are told they spoke to God and they looked to the Lord. Their eyes were fixed on him. That's what 2 Chronicles chapter 20 tells us. It's wise counsel there. And it's wise counsel still today for ourselves when we're in a similar kind of situation to the one they were in. But when you come to Psalm 46, we see them doing, yes, what we've said in 2 Chronicles, but they do something else. Not only are they speaking to the Lord, but here we see that they're speaking about the Lord. They're thinking through their Christian position. They're thinking through who they are. They start with the Lord God. They hold these pressures at arm's distance from them. And they lift their gaze. I to the hills will lift mine eyes. And they start thinking of the great truths that are there for us and them in 2 Chronicles, Psalm 46, the island of Lewis, and Kinlochbervie. Great truths that it does us well to think of. The rock on which we can stand with all the changes that are occurring round about us. The thoughts that this breeds within us to fill our vision and to promote our confidence in our God. We must not allow anything or anyone to rob us of the Christian comfort, strength, consolation that is ours as we might think about and lean on our God. God has revealed himself in this world. He has revealed himself in his people down through the generations. He's the government of the world ruling in the heavens and in the earth. And all of these things that we see in the revelation that he's given, all of these things that we have in our own experience and the experience of other believers, all of these things true about our God to others stands true about God to us where we are today and in this year that unfolds before us. Think of the scale of his commitment, of his investment, of his interest in his own people. The confidence they had in God. They speak about God. What are they saying then? Two very simple thoughts about this confidence in God. They say, what? God is our refuge and our strength. The way in which we have the description of God here, we've mentioned it before in so many different places in Scripture. It's not an exhaustive description about God. It's a selective description of God. It's a selection of God's character that is set by the circumstances of God's people that they're in. It's appropriate to the need of the day. God's character, God's commitment, God's relationship to his people, it's not given as an abstract commodity, but it's given in a concrete situation. God is a refuge in time of trouble. In the time of chaos, God is a quiet, protected retreat from the pursuing enemy, from impending danger. Psalm 62 says this: in God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is my God. That's what it says. What's the conclusion? The psalm goes on to say, trust him. 62 verses 7 and 8. Trust him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. When we're exposed to danger from whatever source, then we must contemplate and think upon God as our refuge. To whom will we turn then? When the first storm clouds, when we see the waves breaking in, when we see the first messengers of a storm to come upon our nation or upon ourselves personally, to whom will we flee and to whom will we turn? When the full blast then descends upon us, God is our refuge. But not only is God a refuge, but we're told here that God is our strength. Our strength does not depend upon what we are, our resources we can deploy, or the reserves we can call on. God is our retreat, able to bear us up until the storm overpasses. We can summon our own life and we can call on the testimony of others. God has never left us. God has never abandoned us in such circumstances. Just a few weeks back, we've been looking at Isaiah 42, verse 10, where God says, I will not abandon you. I will not leave you. I am the strength of my right hand, we're told in Isaiah. My right hand to uphold you and to keep you. The description that is given. He is our refuge. He is our strength. But we're told also, he is our help. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. God is a well-proven help in time of trouble. There is that consistency, predictability, if you want to put it that way. There is that predictability about our God today. What he's been to his people in the past, he will be to his people in the present and in the future. We can look back. We're always doing it at New Year time. We can look back and review. Look back then at other situations we've been in, not just in one year, but in the pathway of life we've journeyed. Where has there been distress and trials and testings? Where we've been in a tight corner with our back against the wall? Where we've been with so many dangers lurking round about us? In the diary of life, how has God fared? How has God fared? He has been a very present help in time of trouble. There has been a fullness in his aid to assist his people then, and he will be the same now. When we've been in need, we have never ever been, he has never ever been lacking, nor has he been late in ministering to his people. A very present help in time of need. He has been precise. Not only in his coming, but in the way that he ministers to us. That is the beauty of his involvement and his knowledge of his people. We might have, oh, the Lord has got to do it now. And he's got to do it in this way. And we are sometimes prescribing to God when and how he has to intervene to help us. And God puts his hand up and he says, no. He will come at his time and in the perfection of his ministry to deal with us. He is there, our help, a present help, and that right early. That's what God is at all times, in all circumstances, to all his people. So, that's the confidence, that's the description that's given. Let's go on. Think of the deduction that is made. Here is the psalmist, and he's flooding his thinking, and he's deliberately gathering in his mind all these things that are appropriate to the situation he's in. He has been giving a description of God. And then he goes on to say, therefore. As a conclusion to the Christian faith, he says, fear not. There's a solid logic to the Christian position. We're not driven into a corner to jump at every shadow that comes our way. We're not blind to the greatness of God, nor are we deaf to the promises of God. No. Fear can infect us, to distract us. But that's why the psalmist is deliberately telling us, and God is deliberately saying to us, never mind what the wind and the waves might be like round about you. Never mind sinking down underneath the weight of what you're carrying and going through. Fear not. Think of the scale of God's confidence. Again, get back to what the psalmist is saying. Look around about you. Look around here. What are the most stable things that we're confronted with? The hills. The mountains. What is the most powerful thing that we see so often? The waves breaking in on our shores. Yet, the psalmist is saying that even these symbols of permanence and of power and of endurance, even these can be moved. Look at the way in which there's an eruption in the Canaries going on for week after week. Look at the way in which sometimes there can be movements on a tremendous scale. The mountains can be moved indeed. And when that happens, it is dramatic. But there's a contrast set up for us here. No matter what happens to the wind and the moon and the mountains or the waves of the sea, God cannot, will not be moved. Cataclysmic events can come, be that financial, health, spiritual. Our lives can be shaken to the core, but the composure of the Christian is intact. What God says, fear not. So that's the confidence. We've taken time to deliver it and to set clearly before us. The confidence in God, the description of God, and the deduction. So what then does he say? He continues to go on in this description about God to focus on one particular aspect that is necessary for the situation he is in. Not only do we have the confidence in God, we have secondly the commitment of God. Fear not. Why? Well, go back to the psalmist. And he says, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. What's the image that's set for us there? In these days, a city building big walls and such like, they would have all their food within the walls. But the one thing that was important for them was to make secure their source of water. If you wanted to capture a city, you didn't go against the walls or bash down the gate. You didn't do any of these things. What you did was, if you wanted to capture a city, you found out where's the water coming from. And you poisoned the well. And that got the city. The supply is vital to the Church of God today. We might, as a church, as a nation, as individuals, we might be boxed in, but we're not shut out. There is a sure supply made available to refresh the Christian, no matter what happens. There is an abundant supply. That's the commitment that he gives us. There is an abundant supply. Revelation chapter 22 verse 1 speaks about the river flowing out from the throne of God. God, who is the source of life, this water flowing out from him gives life to every one of his people. The means of God uses to bring that ministry to us. Our gathering church that we are today, how many of us would take away what we've heard today and be strengthened by it to think about it in weeks, months, in this year to come? The word of God and the promises that are in this book that's in our hand. The way in which we are encouraged by sharing and speaking one with the other what God has done for us. All of these and many more are the river that God has appointed to minister to us abundant supply for us. We can be under extreme pressure, but our spiritual life is secure, guaranteed for all our needs. We would be less than human indeed if we weren't afraid. But our confidence is in God's abundant supply, and nothing will cut that off from us. The commitment of God, an abundant supply. The other commitment that we've got here is not only the abundant supply, but we're told, verse 5, God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. An abundant supply, an almighty keeper. God's presence with his people guarantees their survival. You go back to the Old Testament and there was this cloud, the Shekinah glory of God that overshadowed the altar of God. And when that evidence of God's presence with his people, when that happened, God's people were unbeatable. because God was indestructible. And as long as God is with his people, the same stands true today. God is with his people. The disciples were sometimes so often in the storms and they were afraid. But how often did the Lord minister to them and says, "Be not afraid, it is I. I am with you." And the Lord has said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall, the powers of darkness shall not prevail against it." The commitment of God that is set out for us, a further description of our God. He is the abundant supply of the river. He is the almighty keeper. Thirdly, he is the assured helper. We're told here, he shall help her, and that right early. It's a quaint description, it's a quaint translation that we have there. But what it really means is, he will help her at the time of the dawning of the morning. God is not an idle spectator of the problems his people go through. In danger, when we need help, plain and simply need help, is he coming? Will he be there? The thought is, well, God has said he will never leave us. Well, is he leaving us now? All of these thoughts pile in upon us. And we're told that he shall help us, and that right early. At the dawning of the morning, when the first troubles arise and break on the shores of our life, God gives us the assurance that he will be there to help us through. Dire straits, back against the wall. Tribulations will come. We're not given any channel to go through exceptions. We can, when we go through all these things, be comfortable and confident, looking back at our diary and drawing from Scripture. The situation may be dangerous, exposed and vulnerable. Disaster might be there, but at the point of our need, God has stepped in to protect us in the past, and he will do so again. What he has been to the in the past, he will be in the future for us. Their confidence in God, their description, their deduction. The commitment of God, the assured helper, the almighty God. The third point there we had, the abundant supply of the river. Two things. One last, quickly before we close. What's the comfort of all this to the psalmist, to ourselves? Again, two very simple phrases. Verse 7 and verse 11 gives it to us. What is it? He says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Why are these two names set out for us? Why is it that that's the description of God's character that's set before them and before us? Well, this phrase, the Lord of hosts, the very first time that it's met and given to us in the Old Testament is in the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 3. And there's a very significant meaning behind its use and the title. Because there in the beginning of the book of Samuel, what was God's people wanting? Can we have a king like all the other nations round about us? Can we have a leader like all the other peoples? Can we be like them? That's what they were wanting in 1 Samuel. Chapter 8. Verse 5 sets it for us. But now God is speaking and he's saying, no. This is the Lord of hosts. This is the one that you need to be with you. Not the gods and the hosts and the idols of others round about you. And this is the God who is with you. Because that phrase, the Lord of hosts, sums up and brings together the might, the power, the jurisdiction, the supervision of God in the heavens and on the earth. The deployment of the forces of angels to preserve and to keep his people. All of that is poured into this simple phrase. So that whoever comes against God's people, the Lord of hosts is there on their side. We can look at the world today. What are we? What is our experience? What is our equipment? What are our resources to fight against so much evil and darkness and sin round about us? What are we like? Left to ourselves, indeed, we would be overwhelmed. But we've got to take these words to ourselves as they were given to the people in the Old Testament and this book of Psalms. Who is on our side? Who is with us? The Lord of hosts is with us. That's what was told to these people in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Be still. Why? Because God died for you. The Lord of hosts is the one who is on your side. And these armies, no matter how skilled they might be, no matter how much resources they have, no matter how experienced they are in fighting battles with other peoples, everybody can be piling against the Christian and the church today. But what are they compared to our God? The comfort to the Christian, the presence of the Lord of hosts is with us. But not only do we have the presence of the Lord of hosts, we have also another description. We have the presence and protection of the God of Jacob. Why is that set for us? Why is that particularly brought out now? Well, when we think of what we've been speaking about this morning already, when we think of all of these great, rich Christian promises that God has given to his people, when we think of all the commitment that God has made to the good survival and the blessing of the individual believer, there are great comforts. But can they be mine? We can look back in our own life in the year that is closed in 2021. We can think, well, I let the Lord down here and there. I said this that I shouldn't have. I did that when I didn't have to. I didn't, ought not. We can point up so much inconsistency with ourselves. And we can think of that inconsistency as disqualifying ourselves. No, that's not for me. That's for someone else, but that's not for me. I have been so inconsistent in my Christian living that, no, pass it by. It's for that very reason that this is brought out for us. Because who was Jacob? Jacob was fickle, devious, inconsistent, a disappointment. All of these things can be stacked up in the life of Jacob that apply to him and they apply to us. But what happened? God was faithful to his promises to Jacob. God was faithful in his dealings with Jacob. Despite all of these things that were stacked up from his life, God blessed him, enriched him, and kept him. The lavish provision and the pleasure of the Lord in his grace was shown to and experienced by Jacob. And that is ours also. Yes, we can think of so many things that would disqualify us. But let's put ourselves underneath this text and this verse. Verse 7, verse 11. It repeats it for us just in case we don't want to take it the first time of hearing it. We might say, well, that's okay, you've said it once, pass on. And it comes back to us right at the very end. the conclusion of the whole psalm. Let this be the thought that rings in your mind as you go from this service. Let this be the thought that rings in your mind as you go into 2022. We're going to face so much that's coming our way. There's going to be so much coming us, rattle us, threaten us, making us cower. There's going to be so much that might disturb us profoundly and shake us to the core. But let this, verse 11, as we close, the psalmist closes this with this. Who is for us? The God who is the Lord of hosts with all his might, and the God of Jacob with all his grace, who stepped in, helped and blessed, perfected and provided for Jacob. He is the one that was that God to Jacob. And he is the same God to us today as we face 2022. Let us pray. Our gracious Lord and God, as we come together again underneath the teaching of thine own word, we do pray for the ministry of thy Spirit to open it up and to take it down and to apply it to us, that here each and every one of us might be able to say that it was good for us so to gather and to wait upon our God. Bless us as we part one from the other. Part not from us, but keep company with us and be our travelling companion in this year that now stands before us. In Jesus' name we ask and pray it. Amen. Let's close by singing in Psalm 37. Psalm 37 and at verse 3. Taking the very simple thought that we've had this morning. Psalm 37 at verse 3, set thou thy trust upon the Lord, and be thou doing good. And so thou in the land shalt dwell, and verily have food. Delight thyself in God, he'll give thine heart desire to thee. Thy way to God commit, him trust, it bring to pass shall he. And like unto the light he shall thy righteousness display, and he thy judgment shall bring forth like noontide of the day. Rest in the Lord, and patiently wait for him. Do not fret for him who, prospering in his way, success in sin doth get. Psalm 37, 3-7, set thou thy trust upon the Lord.
Set thou thy trust upon the Lord.
Now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.